Welcome into the gym class, 3:04. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Jeff Downing, our producer today. Kyle Mann under the weather. Hope to have Kyle back coming up tomorrow. But thank you to Jeff for pinch hitting here this afternoon. Good show coming up. Kevin Lehman will join us as per usual on Thursdays. We'll talk college basketball. Will tonight be the night that the Ofer gets snapped? We will discuss. We'll talk about UNI's painful loss last night, the buzzer beater in Terre Haute for the Indiana State Sycamores, and a whole lot more coming your way. Plus, we are obligated to bring you a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night, and we will be doing that because we are people of our word. Good afternoon, Mark. How were the roads when you slid in here this afternoon?
You know, they weren't bad. I don't have far to come to the program, but... Wife got back from Iowa City. She let out early. She works down there and said it was, it got dicier as it got closer to Cedar Rapids. But the sleet has kind of subsided a little bit, at least for now. But practice caution out there.
Please do. And a public service announcement here. I went out to get some lunch, well, because I had to. I didn't want to put some poor delivery person into harm's way. So, you know, I was just going to go to something very close. And people, when it's sleeting and it's snowing and it's icing, it is not sunny in 82 in August. And, I mean, I got passed and honked at and then they start sliding as they go by.
Uh-huh.
It's just common sense, people. Come on. You go a little slower on days like this, we're all going to make it
through.
Pretty
simple, isn't it?
It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. So that's my public service announcement today to everybody out there. Just take it easy out there a little bit. The main streets, like you said, Mark, I think are, for the most part, they're slippery spots, yes, but okay.
Haven't totally been treated yet, but that'll come. I guess if you have any traffic updates for us so we can pass along to listeners, please do 319-366-1600, our phone and our Hertzing and Stocker Jeweler text line.
Yeah, love to hear from you out there. Hopefully nothing bad going on the roads. And most of the schools around Eastern Iowa let out early today. I don't think there's anything going on tonight as far as athletic events are concerned. They even postponed Wash Jeff Wrestling tonight. Mm. Usually, I'm not going to say usually, but there are occasions where intra-city games continue on, despite the fact that there is some inclement weather. But according to our good friend KJ Pilcher, he tweeted out, Wash Jeff is not going to go on tonight, and Co just had their wrestling meet postponed for tonight.
So. Well, this would not have been near enough to cancel Bowling Night in America, had it occurred last night.
Boy, it would have been a dandy idea, though.
By the way, I've renamed the segment for today.
All right.
Okay.
We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. Iowa, Illinois, coming up tonight, just past 7 o'clock. That'll be on Fox Sports 1. And I think Stephen Bardo even gets to do the game again. Lucky
again?
Him, because I think this will be his sixth Iowa game so far this year, the former Illini product. But at any rate, somebody's going to win a Big Ten basketball game tonight. Will it be Iowa? Will it be Illinois? As like we were talking about before we got started here, and we'll talk about this with Kevin Lehman here in just a little bit. Iowa, if they have had a house of horrors, it has been the former Assembly Hall in Champaign. I still call it Assembly Hall in Champaign, but they have not performed well there over the years with some really good basketball teams. Illinois just seems to have Iowa's number over in Champaign. And as far as the Illini is concerned, Brad Underwood, their first-year coach, is a real defensive-minded coach. And they will get after you. And I have a feeling they're going to play very physical with Jordan Bohannon coming up tonight and the rest of the Iowa Hawk guys. If it's not a very closely called game, I think that's going to really favor Illinois coming up tonight. And the Illini have played some terrific games, much like Iowa. Illinois beat Missouri in the border battle in St. Louis at Scott Trade. Looked really good on that particular night when they were supposed to get blown out. Won that one. And there have been other times that the Illini have looked good this year.
Iowa 5-point underdog in this game. What do you think? Go to KGYMradio.com. Vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question today. Will the Hawks break into the Big Ten win column tonight? That's a yes or no question. And thanks as always to Emil's Hideaway. You know where it is. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Yeah, and boy, if Iowa loses this one to drop to 0-6.
Then there's Rutgers. What did Rutgers do last night?
Just about beat Michigan State last night, and we were watching that one at the alleys last night. And Rutgers, you know, they're getting better. They're getting better. They awarded their coach a three-year contract extension as well. And, you know, I'm glad. You don't want to see anybody struggle like that for years on end. And, you know, I think the Scarlet Knights are starting to get things turned around a little bit. I think Chris Ash is going to turn them in the right direction. They're never going to be up there, I think, on a year-in and year-out basis with Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan. But they're going to have their years. Much like Iowa, I think, in the Big Ten, where they're gonna make some noise.
I don't know how much a priority it's been at Rutgers, to tell you the truth.
You're right, and it needs to be now that they've moved up from their former conference into the Big Ten conference. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. 319-366-1600. What do you think tonight? Not about Rutgers, but about the Hawks and the Fighting Illini coming up tonight from Champaign.
Yeah, that Rutgers game is not till next Wednesday.
Correct.
Iowa has the weekend off.
And that is in lovely Piscataway.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iowa comes. Iowa doesn't have a home game till the 20th. 9 more days. Iowa will take on Purdue, and that is an early start. That's an 11 o'clock start. And that's also the Chris Street game. Coming up where they're going to be honoring the memory of Chris Street, whiteout game, and they're going to have a lot of the former teammates, Chris Street, etc., that are going to be back to Iowa City to help honor that great young man. So that'll be coming up on the 20th. By the way, while talking about honoring teams, we shift from individuals to teams. Tomorrow night we're going to be out at Prairie for our basketball broadcast, Prairie hosting Waterloo East in boys basketball. And they are going to bring back the 1998 3A state championship Prairie basketball team that night to honor. And that'll be fun. Looking forward to seeing those guys tomorrow night. Phil's been a part of that, and some of the guys on the team, and some other folks. Of course, Phil was an assistant coach, Phil Dunn, who does the basketball games with me. As Denny Thiessen, the late, great Denny Thiessen, was the coach of the Prairie Hawks at that time. And, yeah, 3A state championship. That was back when Prairie was kind of seesawing between 3A and 4A every year. Think about that, how long it's been.
Team led by Justin Wessel.
Jake Wessel.
Jake Wessel, I'm sorry.
That was Jake. That was Jake.
Josh Kim. Justin was the year prior, is
Jeremiah
that right?
White.
Yeah.
And that was a good basketball team. Mm-hmm. You talk about a team that could get up and down and shoot the ball with that Denny Thiessen back-cutting offense, kind of Princeton-esque. But that was a good basketball team. Beat Harlan in the finals. Harlan had a young man by the name of Billy Cundiff playing for them.
Who ended up in a different sport and had a good career, right?
As a kicker in the National Football League.
Yeah.
As Prairie won that one. So they'll be honoring that team between games tomorrow night out at Cedar Rapids Prairie, and really looking forward to that and seeing the individuals on that team come back. I think most of them are coming back for the game, so that will be pretty good. That'll be fun. We got golf going on. If you want to think nicer thoughts.
You got a couple nice golf stories as well.
Yeah, we're going to get to those.
Should we need them, but... Yeah, the Sony Open in Hawaii is underway. Of course, they're 4 hours behind us in Hawaii. Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids does not tee off till 4:30 Central Time. He'll be with Jimmy Walker and Patton Kizzire, obviously 12:30 local time there. Your leader right now, Vaughn Taylor.
The immortal Vaughn Taylor.
Minus 6 through 14.
Got a two-shot lead on Kyle Stanley and Chris Kirk at this point. Jordan Spieth is 3-under. No, Tiger is not playing. Tiger's never played in the Sony Open. I don't think Tiger's ever going to play in the Sony Open. So he will not make his debut until Torrey Pines coming up in a few weeks down the road at San Diego.
You got options tonight. You have primetime golf.
Yeah.
You have Iowa, Illinois.
Yeah.
And you have Truth and Lies, the Tonya Harding story. How about that?
It's not the movie, though. It's not I, Tonya.
It's an interview on ABC. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anybody care anymore?
That's what Alex asked. He was young when this all happened. I still contend that the Tonya Harding saga and the OJ trial, if social networking was around and the World Wide Web was around, oh my gosh, we would have got even more sick of those two stories than what we had. That was just, it was crazy. That was the soap opera that played out in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding situation there. It's not coincidence, by the way, that since the Winter Olympics are coming up next month, that all this Tonya Harding stuff is coming
out. I don't think
up.
It's something I'm going to record. If I happen to look in tonight, so be it. Probably be more interested in the golf and the basketball game. We'll see.
I mean, I just want to see the movie, I, Tonya. Because Allison Janney's really good in it. She won a Golden Globe, and it's probably going to be up for an Oscar, the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an excellent actress, and she plays Tonya's mother. And I guess she is just amazing. 16 past the hour at 3 o'clock. It's not Siskel and Ebert. It is the Jim Klass.
On the text line, Ryan from Walford, I'm sitting in Josh Kim's office right now.
Hey!
He's tickled. You're speaking of that team. You know, Josh ended up at Kansas State.
Yeah.
Boy, that guy could jump. I had an opportunity to coach Josh in baseball.
Pretty good baseball player,
too. A heck of a
too.
Baseball player, yeah.
Yeah, we're feeding Josh's ego here today, aren't we?
Bruce's son, by the way.
Correct. Correct.
He's lived with that all his life. Right, Josh? Yeah.
Josh got kids now, too.
Oh, boy.
Well, come say hi, Josh, tomorrow, and Ryan from Walford, if you're there as well. Love to see you as well, and just come on by.
It'll be a nice ceremony.
It will be. It will be. It'll be a lot of fun, and like we said, that'll be between games tomorrow night of Waterloo East at Prairie and Boys Basketball, and that will come up tomorrow night, the game. Probably, well, depending on the length of the sophomore game, 7:30, 7:45 right there. It'll be good to see that group coming back, too. Probably still could play.
I bet some of them could.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. 17 past the hour at 3 o'clock. We'll go ahead. We'll take a break, come back. And when we do, Kevin Lehman is going to join us. And there's plenty of college basketball to talk about. Who's going to win tonight, Iowa or Illinois? You and I last night, my goodness. Had an 8-point halftime lead, 7 or 8-point halftime lead. Indiana State came back, took the lead. You and I then took the lead, tied going to the end, and missed shot, tip in Indiana State, and the beat goes on, unfortunately, on the negative side for the Panthers.
That was a good play on the tip end, there's no doubt about it. You and I did force a missed shot, but the player tipped it in, made a terrific play on it, and the beat goes on for you and I, but good for Greg Lansing, the Indiana State head coach, who I know has a lot of friends still in Iowa from his days on the Iowa coaching staff. And we're going to ask Kevin. The Missouri Valley's a mess. Drake lost last night.
Nobody's undefeated.
And there's I think, 8 teams within 2 games of one another.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild scramble.
Yeah. Reminder, each Friday at 5 o'clock during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, you can tune in to KGYM's Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire Service. And, of course, Linder Tire Service in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Save now at Linder Tire with an instant rebate of $40 on a set of 4-passenger or light truck GT radial tires. Find a tire for all seasons, including winter, at Linder Tire. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Kevin Lehman after this here on KGYM.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some hot stove baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
321, back with you here in the Gym Class on KGYM. You just heard mention of the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet. That'll be coming up next Wednesday night, Wednesday, January the 17th, 22nd annual Hot Stove Fundraiser. It's going to be at the East Bank Venue and Lounge downtown. That's the old Smulikoff's building. Doors will open at 5:30. Tickets $45, include dinner, silent auction, and that panel talk with former Colonels and current Twins, Mitch Garver, Zach Granite, Chris Atterbury will be there from the Twins Radio Network, among others, and really looking forward to that night. Proceeds are going to benefit the Take the Lead Community Initiative for the Colonels and the Colonels Foundation. We've got more information for you at kgymradio.com. Just up on by and check it out. And that will be coming up, as we mentioned, next Wednesday evening. Going to talk with Kevin Lehman here in just a moment as college basketball in full swing. Another one I want to talk with Kevin about last night, Texas and TCU. And, you know, very emotional night for Texas because of the news at their guard. And the name escapes me right now, was diagnosed with leukemia. And that was their first game since that. And Texas and TCU went to double overtime, and the Longhorns got that win.
A lot of great games in the Big 12 this year.
Oh, geez. Man alive, that was a nail-biter. Came down to the very end. TCU had a good look at it, just could not put it in. And Texas goes to 2-2, and TCU drops to 1-3 in the Big 12 Conference. And that tells you just how tough things are in the Big 12. To talk college basketball, joins us on Thursdays the coach Kevin Lehman here on the Gym Class. Kevin, I hope you're nice and tucked in somewhere riding out the winter weather, are you?
I've got the wood-burning stove going, Scott, so I'm in good condition. And I enjoyed listening to you talk about Denny Thiessen. I think I may have told you guys this before. I played for Denny Thiessen my freshman year at junior college. In the Quad Cities.
Yep. Great coach.
And what a fun guy. I mean, he was so innovative with basketball. That was back in the mid-70s, and he was running the five-man motion that Dean Smith had did at North Carolina. So, and then I know he went to that open post motion game at Prairie and had a lot of success with it.
Was he another one of those Cub fans, though?
Huh? Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time, Mark. He's big time. Coach.
It's the only drawback that I can know. I know of for Denny.
He drove a big Cadillac, and you know, when you're in junior college, sometimes you travel in odd ways with cars instead of buses, and we always tried to see who did not ride in Coach Thiessen's Cadillac on the way back from a game.
Well, somebody's going to win tonight between Iowa and Illinois, and we were talking about it a little bit earlier on, and boy, Iowa's not fared well in Champaign over the years. You can count on one hand, and you don't even need the entire group of fingers to count. I think in the last 25 years, the amount of Iowa victories over there. And I know Illinois is struggling a little bit, but they've had their moments. And the one thing you can count on with Brad Underwood, whether it was Stephen F. Austin, his year at Okie State, or at Illinois this year, is they're going to get after you defensively.
Oh, no question. And they force more turnovers than anyone else in the Big Ten. That's the concern I have for this Iowa team. That's been the problem. As good as their offense have been, Scott, the Hawkeyes, they possessions because their looseness with the ball. So that's going to be a problem when they go into Champaign, is the pressure from Illinois and possible turnovers and easy baskets, because Iowa has not been good in defensive transition. We saw that at Maryland. They ran that thing right to the rim on the Hawkeyes.
Which players in particular on Illinois' team will present problems for Iowa, do you think?
Well, I think their front line is really scary because they shoot threes. And that's a concern for Iowa, because when you play those big posts of Cook and Luka Garza, they're going to step outside. So Finkel shoots threes. He's made nine. And LaRon Black has got 8 threes. So both those guys can step out and do some damage.
And Illinois is just a tough place to play for Iowa. For some unknown reason, Iowa just does not play well in Champaign.
It's always been that way. And, in fact, Iowa struggled with Illinois a little bit here, and Carver-Hawkeye is that the Illini swept that series last year.
Yeah, and we always and there's something about it. Remember the game a few years back at Carver when the Illinois students snuck in, and they all dressed as Iowa fans, students, and then right as the tip was going up, they took the shirts off, and they are part of the Orange Crush. So, you know, you always have those things, and then you go way back, you know, to the whole Bruce Pearl situation. So there's always been something between Iowa and Illinois.
Yeah, no question. It's ironic to watch Deion Thomas on the Big Ten Network now in studio hosting. That was a real mess back in the days with Bruce Pearl and him on that recruiting deal. But I was at that game when the Orange Crush appeared in the north end zone of Carver-Hawkeye. I thought it was ingenious of their students to do that, because I believe they got those tickets with pseudo names that they were Hawkeye fans. But evidently, they pick a game every year in the Big Ten. Do that. They try to invade another team's arena.
Kevin, in terms of Iowa, is it the same old yarn, turnovers, and defense that this team has to overcome?
Well, points in the paint just jump out at you, Mark. 56 against Maryland, and that's what scares me about this Illinois team. They had 40 points, the Illini did, in the paint against Michigan. So that's a concern. And I got a chuckle out of Robbie Hummel when he was broadcasting the Ohio State-Iowa game, when he said Iowa's got to get out of that zone. I'm thinking, what else can they go to? Because they have not been able to guard the Buckeyes in man-to-man either. But the ability for Maryland and other teams to get that ball at the free throw line against Iowa's zone, that's got to be, if they're going to play zone, they have to keep the ball out of that sweet spot. They haven't been able to do that. And they kind of get that scramble mode, they run around, and they're just not communicating and not playing as a team. I'm sure that's what Coach McCaffrey and staff is trying to get straightened out here these last couple days.
We're about, what, the third poll as far as the Big Ten season is concerned, and Purdue and Ohio State both unbeaten. And I was really impressed with Ohio State, I should say. And I thought it was a really athletic team that the Buckeyes put out there. I think Holtman does a really good job. And Bates Diop is really, really good.
Okay, to Bates Diop, he is a pro because he can score at every level. And we talked about the Big Ten throughout the last couple months on your show, you know, Michigan State, Purdue, who is going to be the next two teams? Well, I think it's obviously now Ohio State, and you got to throw Michigan in there too. And don't sleep on Nebraska. Tim Miles is kind of quietly getting some wins over there in Lincoln. So that may be the fifth best team. I think Minnesota, because of the problems they're having with Reggie Lynch, that they're going to be on a downward slide along with their injuries.
In regards to Iowa State, Kevin, I really thought the Cyclones played very well at Kansas, and save for the last, what, 2.5 minutes, that was a very winnable game, but it turned out to be another loss.
Well, Mark, Donovan Jackson, that shot clock going down, he tried the shot, and it got blocked, and a layup at the other end turned that game around because he had a chance, yep. I think, to go mm-hmm. ahead on that jump shot. Then it was a matter of turnovers. But when Nick Weiler-Babb, Donovan Jackson, and Lindell Wigginton are playing well, I think the Iowa State Cyclones can beat anybody or be in the game. And Cam Lard is really coming on for him. He's at 15-10 at Kansas. They just don't have any margin of error. Young didn't play well offensively. They have no margin of error, and nobody can bring off the bench to give him a big boost offensively. Like last year, they brought Jackson off the bench. Now he's one of their main scorers. And when you look at points when they played against Baylor last year, it jumps out every time I look at their notes. Only three guys have Big 12 experience: Nick Weiler-Babb, Donovan Jackson, Solomon Young. This is a really inexperienced team when it comes to Big 12 play.
Well, it is, and they've got a big one coming up, not only for Iowa State this Saturday, but also for the Baylor Bears, because Baylor right now 1-3 in the Big 12, and you don't want to get buried early, especially with West Virginia still undefeated.
Well, the Big 12, every night out, I mean, it's coming down to final possessions. I heard you talking about TCU at Texas, and then you've got Tech in the act also, along with TCU as teams on the upswing in the Big 12. It is a brutal league, guys. You know, five teams ranked in the top 16 in the country, and West Virginia slowly sneaking up there, number two in the AP poll. So watch out for the Mountaineers and Bob Huggins. And they don't have the star power. You know, Javon Carter, I don't know if you can name the other four on that West Virginia team.
Texas TCU was really special last night. I mean, two overtimes to get that. Of course, the news of Andrew Jones, the young man from Texas that was is battling leukemia now. They really wanted to win that thing. Shaka Smart wanted to win that thing. And it was a great win for Texas. And now TCU drops to 1-3. It just shows that this league is just unbelievable from top to bottom.
But it comes down to last possession. And TCU, Jalen Fisher got to the rim.
He had a good look.
Had a great look and missed it. But that's what down to. You look at, you know, go back to the Iowa State at Kansas. If Donovan Jackson even may have taken a shot clock violation, who knows what would happen that game. But those, when you have a turnover late in a basketball game in the Big 12, it can change the tide in a hurry. And that's what's coming down to. Last possessions, the last minute of Big 12 games are going to decide a lot of these basketball games.
The Missouri Valley, Kevin, you're so familiar with it. Drake lost last night, first loss in the league. Now you have nine teams within two games of one another. What a scramble that's going to be.
Mark, what I would do in that league, I would look at road wins. Because if you can win on the road, you're going to be one up, because most teams can protect their home court if you're going to challenge for the title. So Drake's got already two road wins. And Loyola has two road wins. Loyola's a team I've always liked. They have their guard back, Clayton Cushing, the transfer from Iowa State. They've had some big win at UNI with him playing. So you're right. This is another on a different level. The Valley is much like the Big 12, where there's not much difference between 1 and 10 in that league.
Well, 10 right now is the UNI Panthers, and that was a killer last night. Not only staying winless in the league, seventh straight loss, scored a little bit more last night, so that was good to see. The threes started going in, but a tip in at the buzzer dooms UNI.
But if you watch that last play, Clint Carlson probably did the right thing. There's a ball screen on Jordan Barnes, who had 27 for the Sycamores, and he stayed to get the ball in his hand, but it gave Brandon Murphy inside rebound position. Wyatt Lohaus trying to block out a guy 6'8". And a lot of times, guys, it's not that first shot that beats you on a buzzer beater. It's that tip-in at the end, and that's exactly what happened right at the buzzer. Northern Iowa offense, they really struggle. Bennett Cook, they don't get him going inside, and they can't make threes. It's a real struggle for them to get points up. their defense. And when you look at the Valley guys, that is a defensive coach's league. All those games are in the 60s. You know, Drake scoring some points, but the rest of them, it's a grinded out. And you're going to see that all season in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, you and I can't hope to win with Cook scoring 2 points, right?
Yeah, and what turned that game, Mark, is he picked up his third with about 17, almost 18 minutes left in the second half and sat down, and they had a 7-point lead, and that evaporated quickly without Cook. They've got to get Cook inside and from Carlson inside. Otherwise, they're flinging threes, and they don't have the Ali Frokman-esque three-point shooter. They've got a lot of guys that can get hot and get it going. Haldeman has not stepped up here as late. They need his three-point shooting. Lohaus has really played well off the bench. I wouldn't be surprised to see Wyatt Lohaus in the starting lineup here soon for the Panthers.
Well, they got to get something done. And two things about you and I, all you need to know is you and I, number 9 in the country in defense, giving up 61 a game, but 333rd in offense. So that's tough. But 3 of the next 4 at home. If they want to get back into this thing, get out of that first day at Scott Trade Center for Arch Madness, they gotta win these things at home.
Well, they got Valpo coming in, and Valpo hit 12 threes against Drake. They gave Drake a little bit of their own medicine last night at the Arch in Valparaiso as they knocked down 12 of 24 threes, usually what Drake's been doing. And then Drake's got Evansville at home, so if you and I can get a win, you're going to have Drake at Northern Iowa on Tuesday night. And that's going to be interesting because it's been a long while since those two have played with those records in the spot they're at now. They're usually reversed with Drake for wins and Northern Iowa at the top of the league. So that's a game I get a call. I'm kind of excited about that game because I know who has the scout for the Bulldogs, a guy named Ali Frokmanesh on the Drake bench.
Yeah, that ought to be interesting a little bit. Dad did some things pretty well when he was wearing purple and gold.
He could shoot some threes in, so you can see why that Drake team shoots it so well. And they shoot it with such great confidence. And I like what they're doing offensively. They really move people around. They're just so small. And Valpo's got 2 7-footers. The Smits, Derek Smits, his son. So it's a big team. Drake just couldn't rebound with them.
Kevin, take a crack at our poll question. Will the Hawks break into the Big Ten win column tonight?
I really got a good feeling about this one because this is a high-character team. You know, they don't have blow-by guys with the ball in their hands and off the dribble. But I think they're going to get this thing figured out. They've just got to cut down those turnovers. Illinois was a tough place to play, but we've seen when the Hawks have had their back against the wall, they've come back and performed before. They've got to get a W here sometime, Mark. I mean, this thing can't continue. They have just too much talent on that team.
Well, you would think that would be the case, and you know, if this thing just keeps going and going, you know, the more Iowa does not win in the Big Ten, you know, the more the heat is going to get turned up, the more people are going to be questioning things, and it's just, it's going to get turning uglier and uglier, like the weather is outside.
As we outlined, that Rutgers game next week isn't going to be any party either.
Oh, no question. Rutgers, you know, Michigan State takes them into overtime, and this is a team, another team on the upswing, and you're certain Rutgers will want to protect their home court, and they got Iowa circled on that schedule. But, you know, we've seen this Iowa team. Everyone sees what their problems are. They just have not been committed at the defensive end, and they start playing a little too fast going to their basket. So the turnovers have to cut down, and they just got to get – I thought Cordell Pimsel said it best. He goes, hey, we just got to get where we guard our guy. He doesn't go by us off the dribble. That would help the Hawkeyes quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's been a great year, I think, starting things off the conference season in college basketball. You got the people that are always going to be around. You got your Dukes and your North Carolinas out of the ACC, Kansas toward the top of the Big 12. But then you got great stories, Arizona State coming out of nowhere, although they're 1-2 in the Pac-12 right now. Mentioned Bruce Pearl. Auburn is undefeated in the SEC and 15-1 right now. Tennessee has been a very good story this year. But this is what makes college basketball fun year in and year out, because you never know who's going to jump out and have a great year.
Well, here's what jumped out at me, guys, when I pulled up the top 25. Virginia is at number 3.
Yep.
And talk about a team under the radar. We never talk about the Cavaliers and what Tony Bennett does there with that slow pace of play, but they're up at number three right behind West Virginia.
And a good team. And Clemson is another team that not much was expected of going into the year, and they're 14-1 right now.
Well, it's going to be a wild race, guys. You know, especially when you get to March Madness, because how many teams have potential to get the Final Four, because there's so much parity in college basketball now. And did you guys watch Purdue at Michigan?
Yes.
That Purdue team, they're pretty solid, guys. When you see to win at Michigan, and they hadn't done that for a long time. How about the clock call at the end where they reversed the call and gave that ball with about 6 seconds left back to Purdue?
Yeah, that didn't go well with John Beilein.
Kevin, you
know, and it took them about 10 minutes to figure that out. But, you know, I think they probably got it right. But, boy, we've had just too many replays in college basketball. I think you're losing the fan base because of it.
Kevin, you referenced the Minnesota situation a little bit earlier, and I just put out a general question to you. How much responsibility should a head coach accept for things that happen off the field or off the court?
Well, I think we go back to Deer Pierce and Steve Alford.
Mm-hmm.
We had that same issue here at the University. And there is accountability because you recruit that young man, you've got to do some high character checks when you recruit people. And, you know, of course, Reggie Lynch started his first 2 years at Illinois State, then transferred to Minnesota. He is a Minneapolis area kid. Of course, I coached against his uncle, Kevin Lynch, went on to play for the Timberwolves. But, Mark, I think there is some huge accountability there as a coach, because you have to do your due diligence in recruiting. And, you know, football, you're dealing with 100 guys. Basketball, it's a much smaller number, so you have to know and do background character checks when you recruit young men.
Mm. No, I would agree.
But I tell you, Mark, what else happens now, your hands get tied as a coach because, you know, he has not been charged with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remove him? He's still practicing with the team, even though the school is trying to get him dismissed from school. So as a coach, though, you know, because of legality, sometimes your hands are tied in those areas.
True.
And there's quite a few teams around the country, not in the situation that Minnesota has with the background and what's happening with Lynch, but the Big 12 race, I think, could really be determined by the fact that Kansas has those two All-Americans sitting on the bench right now, and they could play at any moment, or they might not play the rest of the year.
Yeah, the thing with Billy Preston has been really strange because it was a, you know, a car he was in driving, and no one knows who owns the car.
Yeah,
I think the mom might have purchased it. So you kind of try to connect the dots. Is Adidas, is this part of that scandal we saw early in the season with Louisville and Arizona and those other schools? Is this tied in with that? No one's sure. And they're trying to get the other young man reclassified. He just joined him at semester to get him eligible to play, because you see Kansas, they have got no bench at all.
And that would help them get those two individuals in there. But they might not play. They may play on the next game for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, you never know. That's what's strange about this is they were expecting to play against Iowa State, those two players, Billy Preston. I can't remember the other young man's name, but that's kind of the odd thing about college basketball. All of a sudden, a young man is eligible, and you throw him in there, and if they got the talent, they're going to score some points.
No doubt. No doubt. Love college basketball. Love college basketball for on-the-court stuff. And it's going to be a great, great rest of the month of January. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Always fun talking hoops with you. And we will look forward to seeing you on TV. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. You stay safe on the roads.
Hey, you too, man. 342. Kevin Lehman joining us, the coach. He joins us on Thursdays here on the Gym Class on KGYM to talk some college basketball.
Trevor in North Liberty on the text line, and also some tweets out there. There's a three-car accident about a mile north of the Wilson Avenue exit, 380 southbound.
Okay, southbound. Yes, on the southbound side between, that'd be the S-curve and Wilson Avenue,
mm-hmm.
right in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a three-car accident there, so please Use some caution out there if you're on the highways and byways of eastern Iowa this afternoon as the sleet going down, everything going down here today. Just slow down a little bit, take some extra time, and everybody will get to your destination. 343, come back with more after this, KGYM.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
Oh, we can get away with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Pop quiz. What's the most important part of a ship? Don't answer. It's the crow's nest. Know why? Complete visibility. I can see what's on the horizon and my crew pulling the ship together on the deck below. That's how I run this ship, and that's why we use Grainger. Grainger helps us keep a clear eye on our inventory, saving us time, saving us money, and helping keep everything ship shape. It's always smooth sailing with Grainger. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
3:45, back with you on the Thursday edition of the gym class here on KGYM. Jeremiah Davis is going to join us tomorrow to talk a little hoops and recap Iowa and Illinois, talk some Big Ten, maybe some Iowa football as well. We're not going to get 90 seconds of NASCAR news. We will not do that to our friends on the Todd Bromwell Camp
show.
No,
that's their thing.
That's their gig.
Yeah.
That's their gig. So, yeah. If you're looking for NASCAR news, now we may talk racing. The Chili Bowl's this weekend. If you follow racing, you know what the Chili Bowl is. The world's greatest indoor midget car race. And that's down at Tulsa, going on all week.
I'll take your word for it. Well, Joey Gase from Cedar Rapids recently got a deal.
Yes, he did.
Full-time ride.
Doesn't mean we won't talk, but we won't give the 90 seconds.
No, we won't time it.
For
him. We won't call it that.
No.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to steal the shtick right there. Well, Mark, you weren't there last night, and you probably were the lucky one. It is time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, where I'm sure bowling will go on tonight. Trust me. On that one.
The segment renamed today, Annoying Night in America. It was ANA, Annoying Night in America last night for the Rusty Nails. And it
annoying month and a half.
Reverberated all the way to Florida, because I understand Rusty Swires weighed in on our woes.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to include myself in that, even though I wasn't there last night, part of the team. You guys stunk.
We stunk. I was one of the chief stinkers.
Got swept last night. Nobody hit their average. I mean, the first two games were 24 and 33 pins, really doable. And just appeared you guys gave up the last game. Lost by a buck 60 or something like that.
Oh, it was not fun. It's always fun at May City, but it was just not. We weren't enjoying ourselves. We just didn't bowl. We have not bowled in 6 weeks. Rusty chimed in and said that there should be a $2 fine for every game for each individual that does not get their average. As he has seen his fine work deteriorated here to the tune of, what'd we say?
We're 6-18 the last 6 weeks.
Oh, no, we're 5-19. 5-19 the last 6 weeks.
Okay.
14 games under 500. And it's going south in a hurry.
35-37 on the year, 10th place in the mature Evergreen League.
Just ahead of the Bent Pals. They're coming for us. They're gunning for us.
Well, we have an opportunity next week against the Blind. That's not a team. It's a we have an unbalance in the league. So every so often, each team bowls no one.
Right.
And just basically have to hit your average, which...
Within 50.
And within 50, and that wouldn't happen last night.
No, we would have got swept last night. So it was a tough night on the lanes, and we were all frustrated. And, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen other than the fact that we're not going to win.
Wasn't particularly tough for Brian Heefner. He had a 280 for high game in the league last night. And good old Marcus Mitz, 681.
Also mad at the Chiefs.
Of course he is. Not particularly high scores in the league last night, but we'll see about next week.
There was a lot of head scratching last night, not only in our group, but then in the second game, at one point, we looked around, there were four perfect games going into the seventh.
Oh, is that right?
So, including Nathan Walt against us last night. Bowled well for our Capriotti.
Well, we'll try to regroup next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to slip out and get some open bowling in or visit.
Or practice.
I won't demand that from the boys, but even visit the pro shop. Andy Dirk's doing a great job there. Give him a call, 362-0136. You can also visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Maybe Rusty will come back and lead us in a practice.
Not in this weather, he won't.
Yeah, that's not happening. That's not happening at this point. All right, 350. Zach Johnson will tee off in about 40 minutes or so at Wiley. And with that in mind, we got a couple of golf stories, neat golf stories.
Please share.
We're going to pass along to you when we come back, as we'll get to that here on the Gym Class right after this. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will, because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Back at 3:52, and it is Thursday, and that means we introduce you to this week's Team of the Week, our Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, Local 1260 in Iowa City, and Local 678 in Waterloo Dubuque Corridor Spotlight Team of the Week. This week, the Cedar Rapids Prairie Wrestling Team we honor, and they won the championship at the Ames Invitational, the Jack Mendenhall Tournament. That we talked about on Tuesday with KJ Pilcher. And congratulations to Prairie. Beat a really good field, including West Des Moines Valley and Cedar Rapids Kennedy. They finished second and third. Conrad Braswell, the 120-pounder, picked up the championship. They had a couple runner-up individuals as well. And I know KJ talked about them in the paper today in his column about high school wrestling. And congratulations to the Prairie Wrestling Team and Coach Kane Thompson. They're our Spotlight Team of the Week this week. Whoops, sorry, Mark.
Indeed, congratulations. And now story time with Scott.
Yes. On this horribly winter day, horrible winter day. I beg your pardon. We can share some good golf stories with you. Not our golf stories in particular, but this is just golf stories. We start off with this one. A grandfather named Don Byers, and this actually occurred in the fall, and because obviously in Nebraska, you're not playing golf today or yesterday.
Generally speaking, no.
No. And Don was playing with a gentleman by the name of Rob Brown, who was the golf coach at Bellevue University in Omaha, who knew. I didn't know there was a Bellevue University in Omaha, but there is, apparently. Don Byers, who's 61, a grandpa, was several under par after nine and got talking with Rob Brown, the golf coach at Bellevue, wondering, just laughing, hey, you got any eligibility left? And you know how this ends, right?
I have not heard this story.
Well, you know of the ilk.
Yes.
It's not the first one to happen, but to make a long story short, this young man, or this gentleman by the name of Don Byers, did attend Nebraska on a baseball scholarship, but blew out his arm and never played, so he still has eligibility remaining. And he is on the Bellevue golf team.
No kidding.
Now, how about that? At age 61.
I'm 61, but I've exhausted my eligibility.
I still have eligibility remaining. So I think that, you know, if, of course, I got to get to, you know, 7-6 under par, whatever the case may be. Anyway, the other golf story, this comes from CBSSports.com. And, Mark, have you had a hole-in-one? I believe you have.
I have.
You did it in a tournament, correct?
In a high school tournament in 1974. Haven't had one since.
This comes from England. Freddie Sage, Welwyn Garden City, England. He's seven. He's seven.
Okay.
First time on a regulation golf course for a round of golf. And what's a little bugger do? Makes a hole in one. Makes a hole in one. And the golf pro who was out there said it wasn't one of those, quote, it wasn't just
wasn't
one
a dribbler
those,
off the tee.
No,
that
it wasn't a fluky thing. He hit it straight off the tee. It was a perfect shot, and it went in the hole. Now, it doesn't say if he was playing, you know, what set of tees he was playing, but.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. A hole in one is a hole in one. And what do you got to do? You do that in your first time out. What do you got to prove the rest of your life? Huh?
You've been playing what? 35, 40 years?
Oh, I've been playing 43 years, something
like
that.
You've never had one?
Never had one.
Never?
Never. Come very close, within 6 inches on three different occasions, but I have not had one yet. And I'll get one. We'll get one. Maybe we'll do that for this year. Rick, you and I will go out, get some hole-in-ones this year.
Well, that'd be nice. 21-34, the 61-year-old guy with the college golf sounds like a scene out of Old School.
Wasn't blue. Wasn't blue. And that doesn't end well. Spoiler alert, as far as that movie is concerned. But, yeah, and that happens, I'm not going to say all the time, but it does happen that somebody with eligibility left in a sport such as golf or... Yeah, what would another?
He's not going back to play baseball in Nebraska.
No, but there have been some 45-ish year old football players I know that have played Division III that have gone. I know a couple of them had military careers, came back and joined football teams. Didn't play a whole lot, but still were on the team. Now I don't know if this gentleman's going to be, you know, in the starting lineup for this university, but he's out there and he's playing. So good for him.
I think you could help my alma mater code. Do you want me to check into that?
Means I have to go to class, too, and that could be a drawback at this point. But at any rate, making everyone feel a little warmer out there on a bad winter day. All right, Jeremiah Davis joins us coming up tomorrow. Pick six tomorrow. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They are next, coming your way right here in KGYM. Have a great and safe Thursday night, everybody.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research.